different people that will fall for different things. I started when I was looking for a boat. I looked on the canals and I looked to buy a narrowboat. And in the end, I realized it was too small for me. I needed space and I needed a long vision. So I needed a horizon. Now on the river, where we are right here, not only have I got the space on my barge because it's a lot wider and longer, but also I come out and I can look all the way up to Canary Wharf rather than just having a stretch of 5 meter canal when I look out from a porthole or something. And that makes an enormous difference. I love when it's wild. On the canal, the water doesn't move. Even if it's a gale, it will hardly do anything to you. And it's even lovely when you want to go to sleep. It rocks you to sleep. You see what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Most of all, is the presence of water.
Yes. But that is something I didn't think, oh, if I buy a boat and if I live on it, that is what's going to happen. I didn't know what was going to happen. I didn't know what it was going to be like. That was just a pleasant surprise. I mean, but I knew that much that I didn't want to be in a narrow boat on a narrow canal. But for me, it was, if not the sea, which I love, then the river.
What is that love about the sea and the river? And what?
I don't know. For me, it is a kind of a freedom. And I sail as well, a lot. And I love that combination when you are a joint power with nature. In a sailboat, for example, you control because you're fighting almost against the wind, but you're with the wind. But you need to know exactly what the wind is doing in order to get where you want to get. And when you have that, it's even interesting, even when you steer a motorboat or barge or like this, you're still living in symbiosis with nature because the steering wheel or if you have a tiller, whatever you're using, you have to feel what a tide is doing in order to be able to steer her, to hold her. So you have to be very sensitive.
Years ago, that's 25 years ago, I used to know the mooring, the people that used to manage the mooring. And they asked me if I wanted to be minder, the mooring minder. So I said yes. So I had another boat called Patrician, so I sold that and bought this shell. As you can see, that's me here. And it's a wonderful life here because I've got the best of both worlds. I mean, in a flat, you have to worry about the next door neighbours. But here, you don't. I mean, you can make as much noise as you like and nobody complains. But in a flat, you have to listen to the people above you, either side and below. So this is really good. And naturally, it's on the water. And because I've been a seaman nearly all my life, it suits me down to the ground in them. So, and as for living here in Little Venice, I mean, you're only a mile from Marble Arch, Oxford Street, and you're in a kind of a country here, aren't you? With wildlife galore. Birds, all types of water birds. And this morning I've only just been feeding a robin and two wood pigeons, a friend lived with me. They come and have their photograph taken every morning.
Since Dickens came up here, Charles Dickens came up here in a boat from Regent's Canal Dock, Limehouse now, on the Thames. He went all the way to Little Venice up there and wrote a book about it. And in it he makes remarks that show that things haven't changed, that little boys would stand on bridges and throw bricks at the boats underneath, and wee on them and all sorts of things like that. And he explains the psychology. That's just the same today. They're not worse today, they're just the same. But the psychology of it is that when a sort of a no-hoping street lad, lass, usually lads, have to stand on a bridge, they feel superior to the people underneath. But they know inside themselves that they're not superior, because the person underneath is actually a skilled artisan who's steering a boat, loading, blah, 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 maintaining it, working a horse. But they feel superior, and the only way they can show their sense of superiority is by pissing on them or throwing bricks at them as they go underneath. And Dickens writes quite a lot about that. I mean, he's absolutely right. It was harder work then. It was harder work because you only got paid according to what you did. Whereas now most of us get paid wages and we can sit and drink coffee all day and still get the same money. Whereas they would have been so much for each ton they carried and for each mile they carried it. So what if the weather was really bad, they'd get paid. And if the weather was just really bad, frozen.